Well, Pastor prayed, and again, for those of us who have been praying about this workshop, I want you to know that we are excited because we know, because God's told us what he wants to do. And all we're going to do is create an environment for God. We are not forcing God to do anything. We're not necessarily demanding, although we have a righteous as children. You can ask your father for good things. And here's what we found out. Father is giving out good things. So we just figure, go ahead and give. And one of the things I've learned as a Christian is there is no shortage. Our Father is very generous. If he can turn water into wine, multiply 5 loaves and fish and feed thousands of people and have leftovers, he's giving us a message. Okay? He's giving us a message. So we get to come and feast at the table. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. These sessions are intended not just to give you a lot of head knowledge, mental understanding, but there is a part that your mind plays. Because sometimes you've got to get your mind renewed, okay? But you may have to start there because you have already been sort of trained. Many of us were trained in tradition. And for some of us, some of the things you're going to hear in these workshops may challenge you, all right? But I said to the group last week, everything that we're going to do is biblically found. I am a Bible girl. We're not going to tell you anything that I can't support in the scriptures by more than one or two or three scriptures, okay? So, but at the same time, we serve an interesting God who doesn't always follow the box, the rules. And when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I heard somebody say this years ago, and he's so right. He says, most of the church, when people ask the Holy Spirit to come, Holy Spirit, come, we sing the songs. This is what we're really saying. Holy Spirit, please come, and please sit in the back seat of the church over there. Don't disturb the service. No wild stuff. We already have an agenda. We created it. We had a meeting. We prayed. Here it is right here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Holy Spirit, behave yourself. That's what we're saying. That's what most of the church says to the Holy Spirit. They don't really let him lead. But we're calling it the Spirit-led workshop for a reason. We're letting him lead and we're following. And I tell you, and I say this sincerely, not because, you know, we're the best church in town, because there's no competition in the body of Christ. You go wherever God leads you. But I am convinced that if you come to these workshops, and there'll be various speakers and various things that happen, you will not be the same. Guaranteed, according to the word of God. In our prayer time, the Lord has already told us that that will happen. So let's start with just first things first. If you have your handout, because we only have about an hour and I want to honor. So let's begin. First things first. Before we talk about the ways of the Holy Spirit, how to hear from God, what's the difference between praying in tongues and, you know, being and releasing your prayer language, and what is this and what is that, and how do we know our gifts, and how do we get prophecy and miracles, we need to know about the Holy Spirit, who he is. So let's fill in the blanks. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit, I know I'm reading, but again, just so that you don't have to take notes, but I want you to listen. That's why these notes are there. The Holy Spirit must never be considered merely as a blessing, a feeling, a power, or an influence. He has power. But you just can't call him, well, you're the power, and he is a person, okay? It is not enough to just talk about him or learn information about him. We must become acquainted with the Holy Spirit and know him as a living person. Not somebody who's way out there, a living with you, who's always around you at all times. The Holy Spirit is separate and distinct from both the Father and the Son. Now, we're going to learn more about the Holy Spirit, but one of the things the Holy Spirit told me several years ago, he said, you know, Pascal, I want to reveal myself to the people of God, but I will not reveal myself fully until they know the Father and the Son. So if you don't have a relationship with the Father and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit will withdraw, because his primary purpose on the earth is to reveal the Father and the Son. So if you've already got that and that's secure, just say, Holy Spirit, tell me more about you. And that's been my own experience. Okay, we should never refer to the Holy Spirit as it, I-T, it. He is not in it, just like you're not in it. People are not its, okay? He has feelings and desires. He has a will. He makes decisions. He has thoughts. He can communicate. He moves. He acts. He decides. Okay? Number two, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is worthy of worship along with the Father and Jesus. When you're worshiping Jesus, the Father doesn't say, hey, Mary, you spent a whole lot of time worshiping Jesus. What about me? When you worship Jesus, you worship the Father and the Holy Spirit. When you worship the Father, you're worshiping Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When you're worshiping the Holy Spirit, you're worshiping Jesus and the Father. So it's not something that we're taught, but I want you to know that he is worthy. If he's God, he is worthy of worship, and only God is worthy of worship. There is one God. There's only one God, but God is a community, a triunity. So one God, three persons. We're not here to discuss and theologically what that means, but that is what the Bible teaches. And here's the thing about God. You cannot know God with your own mind. God has to tell you who he is. In the same way, you can look at me and say, oh, I see this brown skin, black woman. She's about, 5'9", blah, blah, blah. I don't know. She's about age and, has maybe a few kids and she looks like whatever. But you really don't know me. Now, how many of you know what my favorite perfume is? How many of you know what my favorite food is? How many of you know when my birthday is? Don't raise your hand if you work for me. you don't know me. How will you know? I have to reveal it to you. So God cannot be known unless he reveals himself to you. It's by revelation. God has to tell you, this is who I am. This is what I like. No, I don't like pizza. I want beans tonight. Just like you. God has things he likes and there are things he doesn't like. So we need to ask him, reveal yourself to me. Okay? We can't just say, well, because I see this, you must be that. God reveals himself. One God, three persons. Believers are instructed not to grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. Grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to turn to Ephesians 4:30 or 1 Thessalonians 5:19, but if you need Bible proof of that, it's right there in the New Testament. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench him. To grieve him means that you are making him upset and unhappy, disappointing him, hurting him, his feelings. And you know what he does? Just like the same thing that you do. He withdraws or he stays quiet. Okay. To quench him means that he wants to do things and you resist and you stop him. He wants to go this way, and you say, no way. You quench him. Throughout the Bible, number three, there are a variety of, and that's a long line, you can put various words there. There are a variety of names, symbols, images, metaphors, words, okay, associated with the Holy Spirit. So if you need to, you can put names, words, symbols, associated with the Holy Spirit. This is in the Bible, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We have various ways that God himself chooses to help reveal things about the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, what do these names, words, symbols, and images, what do? They call attention to certain functions or attributes which he manifests on different occasions. So they reveal something about the way he wants to move or how he operates on various occasions. Now, symbols must be interpreted accurately in light of the scriptural context because symbols can be misunderstood. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. He's not a bird. He's not. Okay? He's not a scary ghost. Although I know many people call it, ghost and spirit, Many people are afraid of ghosts. We're going to use many of my team members may call him the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Ghost, meaning he's invisible. He's spirit, okay? And that's perfectly okay. But I'm just saying if you're afraid of ghosts, you call him spirit. All right. And there are many other things which we're not going to talk about, but I just wanted to give you some introduction. And again, just first things first, there's many more things we could say. But for the purpose of this class and how and where the Holy Spirit has been leading us, we need to draw some conclusions. So turn to John. Actually, we're not going to turn to John. We're not. I'm looking at the time. We read it last week. In John chapter 3, verse 8 to 12, just repeating and reading last week, Jesus is having a conversation with a Pharisee called Nicodemus. And in the middle of the conversation, Jesus is telling Nicodemus about people that are born again. You must be born again. And he says, he talks about the wind. He says, you know how the wind, you know, you know it's there. You can't really see the wind, but you can see evidence of it because leaves are moving, things are moving. You know it's there, but you can't see it. He says the same way with people that are born again and of the Spirit. You will have evidence, but you will not see the Spirit within them. See, if you're born again, I can't see your spirit. But there ought to be evidence in your life that you are born again, okay? And so Nicodemus says, well, you know, and Jesus talked about, you know, being born in your mother's womb and, you know, and all of that, born of water, born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus says, look, these things, I don't understand. This can't be right. That can't be correct. How can these things be? And this is what Jesus says, and you can go read that. He says, Nicodemus, if you don't understand, I'm trying to explain spiritual things to you. I'm using earthly examples, earthly images that you should understand to explain spiritual things. If you don't understand what is earthly, you will not understand what I'm trying to tell you that's not earthly. So let's fill in the blank, and then I'll add a little bit to that. Nicodemus needed to understand that some, so take your pen out, some spiritual realities, some spiritual realities have a corresponding natural or earthly parallel. Some spiritual realities, this is probably the hardest thing you're writing, making you work. Some spiritual realities have a corresponding natural or earthly parallel. So when Jesus was talking to us, for those of you who know your Bible, when Jesus was talking to us about the Word of God, he said, the Word of God is like seed. It's got to get in. It's got to take time to build roots. It's got to grow. It doesn't just become a tree in you. In other words, the Word of God has work to do in your life. And Jesus used a seed because he figured, well, you know, most people understand that. So throughout the Bible, God is very creative in the way that he talks to his people. He uses earthly, natural things. So in praying about the workshops, we determined that there were five things the Holy Spirit wanted to be about in all the workshops. There were five words that were identified, and we want you to know what they are. We want you to know exactly what to expect. And these words and symbols are found in the Bible, and we're going to be looking at that. So here, I'll read about the expectations because this is really very important. During and after workshop sessions, I want you to know, during the sessions, while you're sitting here, things might happen. You may think, oh, nothing happened. On your way home, the next day, middle of the week, Sunday, something happens that you didn't expect. We want you to expect God, the Holy Spirit, to do things in your life. So during and after the workshop sessions, expect the Holy Spirit to manifest his presence and power privately and or publicly in your life. What do I mean by manifest? What's a manifestation? Manifestation means demonstration, visible or tangible expression, evidence, sign, experience, something. Okay? Tonight, we will explore together five words that are associated with the Holy Spirit. He's not limited to these five. There are many other symbols, but there are five. They describe some of his ways, how he acts, moves, operates in our lives. Okay? So how many of you last week remember what the five are? Now, don't turn the page. That's cheating. Raise your hand. All right? Yes. Yeah, one of the five from last week. Fire. Okay, number one, right? Fire. Okay? Luciano. Number two. Wind. Somebody on this side? Yes. Oh, I forgot your name. Oil. Number three, oil. Someone in the middle, I'm kind of moving around a little bit. Rain, right? The word rain. Number five, wine, right? The word wine, W-I-N-E. Those are the five words. So guess what? We're going to look at them tonight in a little bit more detail. We're going to give you, we talked a little bit about that last week, what we did. Is as a group, we talked about what are some of the natural characteristics or, you know, of rain. You know, you get wet, you know, things like that. Wind, it's windy, it's invisible. Things that we know natural. Remember, we're going to see how spiritual things have an earthly parallel. So the Holy Spirit, these words are associated with him because he moves like these things in an earthly, like in the earthly parallel. The Holy Spirit is going to do that in your life. Now, we, again, through prayer, we felt that we need to tell you in advance. So if you know what, how many of you know what it's like to be wet? Okay, I don't know. Did anybody wash up today? I mean, I don't know, half of the people raised their hands. How many of you wash your hands? Okay, before you eat and stuff. All right. Guess what? Some of you are going to get wet spiritually. Soaking wet. Soaking wet. Now, you can choose to put an umbrella up and hide, but then the wind will get you. The oil will begin to slide, right, Reverend Mike? I mean, the whole, I'm letting you know these words, we're going through them because they will describe for you how the Holy Spirit is going to move in your life. Now, he moves in other, like I said, there are other symbols. So think about it. These aren't the only symbols, but these are the five that the Lord has given to us. So I don't know about you, but we're going to let him do his thing. Okay, let's turn to the next page, and let's actually look now at some of the spiritual understanding of these words as it relates to the Holy Spirit. What I've done is given you some bullet points or sentences, which we'll explore together. And then scriptures to back it up. I am not going to read all the scriptures. I may be led to read one or two. That is your job. It's there for you. If you were like, well, that sounds a little crazy, go read the scriptures. And notice I'm giving you at least, some of them, nine scriptures. I mean, literally, I didn't want my assistant to print 10 pages. I could have given you more scriptures. I just figured, you know, let's just begin. All right, some of you, you know, I remember my children when I first used to teach. They said, you know, Mommy? So I said, oh, what's the feedback? Mommy, do you know you had us flipping back and forth our Bible? I mean, we couldn't even read the scripture, and you were having us go to another scripture. The idea is that we need to be biblically founded when we do things. Everything needs to be filtered with the Word of God. So you have the scriptures. If you have questions, we'll talk about that. As a matter of fact, Carmen, where are you? Come on up, Carmen, one of my wonderful, I mean, awesome assistants. Give her a hand. She never gets a hand clap. Behind a curtain, she's a golden girl, I'm telling you. That's right, Carmen. I want the whole world to know. So we have index cards, and I want to set that up, and I want to let my team know. So index cards are going to be available to you when you come. Now, I want you to use index cards as this is easy for me to carry at home or my team to put in their bag. I know it's the old-fashioned. You have to have a pen, and I know. I don't want to give you all my email address because I'd be bombarded probably. But if you have a question, like, what do you mean about this? What? I don't know if this means what you said. The truth is not afraid of being questioned. Go ahead and ask. Write it down. Say, you know, what does this mean? Or I had this experience happen. Oh, my God, I went home and blank, blank, blank happened. I actually felt wet, and I couldn't get dry. All right? It took me a long time to dry up. How many of you know when you've been soaking wet and you put the towel, it's still dripping. It's easier to go from dry to wet than from wet to dry. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. This is also, use this card if you have a testimony. Now, you'll notice it's a small card. So we're not having you try to write books. But, you know, it could be I'd love to be able to share it with you after class, all right? And we can't guarantee that we're going to always be able to do that. But share with us through index cards. There's too many of you. We really, you know, 8:30, 8:35, we really don't want everybody lined up, which will happen, I believe. There'll be a lot of questions. We want to be able to answer. And one of the things we'll do, we'll take them home. We'll see if there are like five people asking the same questions. even if it's just one, we're going to do our best to answer the questions for you. So they'll be available. Find Carmen, find, I don't know, stand up, Lisa and Adam. Look at these three. Turn around. Come on. Give them a hand. They're taking care of the natural stuff, all right? We've got teachers and people praying. So if you need anything, go to Lisa, Adam, or Carmen, all right? Okay. Let's get back to this. Fire. Fire. When you think about fire, fire purifies, fire burns, right? So the holiness of God, the Holy Spirit is called holy for a reason. The holiness of God is central to the assignment of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. It is central to what he is here to do. He could have been called, he's the Spirit of Truth, he's a teacher, he's a counselor, he's an advocate, he's a helper, strengthener, all kinds of wonderful, the comforter. But he is called the Holy Spirit. So to be holy has to do with being pure, has to be doing with set apart, not like any other. So in the Holy Spirit, you're going to have purification occur. When the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, he is going to burn some things in a good way. So the holiness of God purifies, burns out, and removes all that is unclean. God wants you to be golden, gold. And when gold is refined, it's got to be heated up, okay? So sin, compromise, the Holy Spirit is going to point it and say, we need to deal with this. And here's how he says we. He just wants to, he'll do it. The fire will burn it up. He just needs you to let him. And a lot of times we just need to do it, okay? And how many of you know when major surgery is necessary, they put you to sleep and it takes a couple of hours? Sometimes it's more than a day or two to deal with the filth and the stuff that we pick up along the way. The Spirit burns into us also. So he burns out, but he also burns in. He burns into us a fervent zeal and enthusiasm to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I love to offer my time and my life and my affection to God. I'm excited. I love him. I want to do it. So that zeal, when you're lazy, you're like, well, you know, the church wants to, you know, I don't have the time. And God has need of you. That's just because you don't know what's in you. So the Holy Spirit will burn into us a fervent zeal. Consuming fire is likened to passion and unquenching love. And the Bible calls God in various places, Old Testament and in the book of Hebrews, God is a consuming fire. So he loves, his passion is unquenching for you. His love is unquenching. But notice also, consuming fire can also be used to describe a power energy that must be respected due to its ability to bring death and destruction. God, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. That means holy respect for him. He is not to be messed with. He is Father. He's the love of your life. He deserves honor and respect. He is not to be treated as common. Some of you might need to let that sink in. The Holy Spirit lights our path, just like fire, you know, when you have a candle and you have a nice burning fire, you have more light. The Holy Spirit will light your path. He guides you into all truth. You'll see more clearly when he's around and he's leading and you're following. He gives us revelation to reveal. That means he uncovers, reveals, and shows us what was or is hidden, not previously seen or known. There are many, like, for example, Bible verses, for example, suddenly acquire new meaning and depth because the Holy Spirit is revealing things to you. He melts and softens cold hearts. He brings comfort and love. There are certain environments that invite the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in greater measures, just like in the same way. When you have a fire and it's diminishing, you add wood. You bring stuff. You can do things to increase what is there. In the same way, you may have a fire that is looking, it's about to go out, and if you blow on it, on the embers, the flame will increase. There are environments when you know what he likes, you offer him. Yourself, you offer him the environment that he loves. And he's like, okay, let's, it's like being asked to dance. I can tell you one of the things that moves him is an invitation from you. He wants to be asked. He wants to be asked. He wants to be invited. Okay, that's about the fire. Let's go to, again, scriptures. Let's turn to, I don't know, for me, it's turned to the next page. The next thing is when, like when. Remember, like, he is like. He's not these things, but he's like them. Like when the Holy Spirit is invisible as a person, yet his presence and work are evident. We need to be able to look at a person's life over time and say, there's been change. If you're exactly the same as you were 10 years ago, no change. Now listen, there are dry seasons in the Christian life. There are hard times. The Lord will allow you to grow, and sometimes, you know, you fall. It's just like a child learning to walk. But if you're still in diapers and you're 40, you know, then we need to talk about that. The symbol in Hebrew for the symbol in Hebrew and Greek means wind or breath. So the Greek word, the Hebrew word, means wind or breath. So even though we're saying wind, the word breath is associated also with the Holy Spirit. And he is, you know, the life-giving breath of the Holy Spirit is what brings new life. You must be born again of the Spirit. Brings new life, revival, and renewal. So even if you're born again and you feel like, oh my God, I need a revival, the Holy Spirit offers that to you. Like a pleasant breeze on a summer day, he will comfort and caress you, caress us. But sometimes he can also be the blast of wind on a cold winter day. I don't know if I wrote that down here, but he can, where you're like, you know he's there. It's not always comfortable because he wants to do something. Sometimes he's like the wind on your back. When that happens, oh, things move faster and easier. Kind of like when you're running. How many of you are runners? We're the runners, the job, right? How many of you run races? Isn't it nice when the wind's on your back and you're going downhill, right? What happens when the wind is against you? There are times when you will feel the wind of the Spirit against you. That's usually a sign, slow down, baby. You're moving too fast. And it's not the devil. It's the Holy Spirit. And being able to discern his presence and his power. He will influence you. He will blow on us like wind on a fallen autumn leaves to move. Like, you know, leaves that are falling. We are in autumn now. You know, they're not fastened to anything. And they're going to be swept away. He'll loosen some things and then blow them away. He wants to do that. He may move you. You'll sense a push. You'll send the wind like this way. Take a step there. Then move here. Take another step. Go ask this brother for forgiveness. Yeah, but it was his fault. I didn't talk about who was at fault. I said ask him for forgiveness. That's where the wind is blowing. Every time I come to church, I see this brother. Pay attention. Where is the wind of the Spirit guiding, leading, pushing, directing me? Because he has an assignment in your life. He takes our breath away. He is so amazing. When you spend time with the Holy Spirit, you will just be undone, captivated by him. Not just by what he does, but by who he is. See, we are, as a church, oftentimes we've been taught how do we get the Holy Spirit to do things? I need him to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. But just like Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, there is something about just being with him. Most of us don't even know what that means. What does that mean? It's okay if you're not there. You may not even know what I'm talking about. Just being. And Mary, this is, by the way, Luke 10, if you need to go check it out, the last several verses in Luke 10. Martha said, Mary, I need you. Come and help me. And Martha got so upset because Mary just didn't move. So much so that Martha said, I'm going to go to Jesus, Mary. Watch this. Jesus, my sister doesn't want to come and help me. Can you please tell her? Because don't you see the dishes? Can't you see we have guests? You know what Jesus said? Martha, you're the one with the problem. Mary has chosen well, and even I will not take it away from her. Spending time with God is your number one priority. Enjoying God, loving God. The first commandment is not go to church and serve and make sacrifices and fast. What's the first commandment? Love who? With all your heart, mind, soul. Well, I don't know what that means, but that means I got to spend time with him if I'm going to love him and let him love me. And then there comes a point when it no longer needs to be a commandment. It's a desire. I'm going to say that again. It may start as a commandment, because a commandment is a rule. God is giving you a rule. I want to be loved. But there comes a point in your life when there ought not to be a commandment. If your wife is saying, you need to love me, or her husband is saying, I need you to respect me, that's not good. It ought to be something that you give because that is the right thing. It's a desire of your heart. Okay, let's move to the next one. Let's talk about oil, and then we're going to have some fun after we're all done. Now, oil is an interesting symbol or paints a picture. So first of all, let's define a little bit what it means. Now, to anoint with oil, the word anoint, how many of you heard anoint, anointing? What does that mean? Ointment, you know, what does that mean? To anoint with oil means there is an application of oil. You're applying oil. You're putting it on something. You're applying oil. The application. To anoint with oil means the application of oil. So this is likened to the application. So the anointing is the application of power because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So let me read it. This is likened to the application of God's power, the anointing, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts 1:8 says this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So it's a symbol of oil on you. When the oil is on you, there are things that you're going to be able to do that you couldn't do before. You'll have power. You'll have power. A variety of things happen when the anointing is present on a person. Now, the Holy Spirit is in us, available, so we have the anointing within us. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you if you are born again. So it's time to unleash the power. Release the power. Guided by the Holy Spirit. This is not some random, reckless power. I do whatever I want, whenever I want. It's always in submission to the Holy Spirit. You will always get in trouble if you're, it's kind of like driving, right? I mean, if you have your license, you're driving. You know, you better stay in the right lane. Don't get into the wrong lane with ongoing cars, or else we're going to have a problem. You have the power, you have permission, you have the authority to do it, but you're expected to do it following some guidelines. In the same way, there are things that can hurt you spiritually. There are things you ought not to do spiritually. There are things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. There are things that will wound you because you're crossing line. Stepping outside of your jurisdiction spiritually opens the door to the enemy. Just because we have the freedom of choice in the kingdom, there's not always freedom of choice to do anything you want when you want. Honor and respect are mandatory in the kingdom of God. And it gets us into a lot of trouble as Americans. I get it. We can free, well, you know, we're all equal. We can do whatever we want. When God says, no, you sit here, he needs to sit. If he says, get up, we need to get up. And if you feel like, well, but she's walking and I feel like I'm missing out and whatever, you step outside the protection of God. The enemy says, perfect, trespasser. Listen, he's all about trespassing, breaking rules. All right, let me get back to oil. Oil speaks of the anointing abilities of the Holy Spirit who calls, equips, and enables us. So there are abilities that come with his presence, all right? So we're going to be talking about his presence. We're going to be talking about his power. Which one do you want, his presence or his power? All right, you see, I got the people in the front. They know the right answer. All right, what's the answer, Susie?
Both.
Both. Both. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when God was teaching me about, you know, Pascal, there is no shortage. I just want to bless you. Will you let me? You know, it's kind of like, you know, saying, okay, Lord, oh, I'm so glad I got a right arm and I'm right-handed. Listen, God wants to give you a right arm, a right leg, a right, you know, he's not saying, well, you should be thankful for the right arm. Don't be asking for a left arm. If you got a good right eye, just be thankful. Don't ask for a left eye. Let's ask him. Let's receive the full package, the full benefit package that Jesus paid with his blood. Yeah. Okay. Now, there's one thing about, you know, I understand, you know, we didn't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't do something to make him think you're better than anybody else. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. Now there are levels of maturity. You know, my children had to wait till they were a certain age to get the keys. But you know what? The car was always there, and it was just a matter of time. So there are some things you can't walk into, but it's in the account. It's in the inheritance. You're just not old enough yet. Do you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, we got 10,000 of these things, but you need to show me that I can entrust you with it, because you might take it and hurt people with it. So sometimes God will train and teach you, but it's yours. It's in the account. And we need to learn how to make withdrawals, which is a whole other conversation. So oil speaks of the anointing. God wants to pour oil all over us, all over everything. So pouring and sprinkling of oil was used to mark something or someone as holy and set apart to the Lord. When leaders and kings and prophets and others were set apart from others, they, you know, someone would pour oil on them, okay? And there are different levels of anointing. There are different kinds of things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. But the point I want to make sure is that you are marked. You are marked. I want you to know the kingdom of darkness knows who you are. You may not know who you are, but they do. In the spirit world, you got oil all. I mean, they're like, oh, my God. So they're attacking you. You know, I think I heard T.D. Jake says this, and I thought it was really good. You're thinking of yourself like down here, oh, Lord, nobody knows my name. You know, I'm nobody and whatever. And they're fighting you up here. But you're looking down here. They're fighting you up here because they know who you are. They know you can beat them, because really all you need to do is look under your feet, because that's where they belong. Trample, trample, trample. When the enemy comes, you just say, no, no, no. Did you hear me? No, 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 until they, because Jesus said this, I know I'm deviating. You shall trample. He didn't say you will debate with them. You'll, you know, compromise with them, hit them on the head, give them a little step. You shall trample upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Do you know what trample means? A repetitive motion to destroy. I think we are not doing repetitive work. We're doing a little, and he shows up. You need to trample till it's broken. When people trample, you know, in a store, they're running for fire, people get trampled on. You know why? Repetitive people are stepping all over them. It's the repetitive motion. Trample involves repetition. Repetition, 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 repetition. When it comes to the enemy, just tell him no. Oil is used to lubricate and soften, right? It can be used to loosen tight things and make them move and work easier. So if I have a ring, I can't get out my finger, I may get a little oil, and all of a sudden, pop, comes right out. Makes things easy, move easier, right? In the same way, God's anointing makes hard things easier to do, easier to say, see, have, achieve, discern. When things are hard, you're working too hard. You're either not doing it because it's not the time or the will of God, perhaps, or you have to develop some strength. But a lot of times, we just haven't asked for the anointing, you know? Or when the anointing is present, that's usually like, oh, let's do it this way. The anointing, now, these are things that you may not, you, maybe for some of you, I know many of you maybe have heard that, or maybe this is the first time you're hearing this. I'm like, what? What is this oil? Look how many, it's got a lot of stuff to say about the oil. I sure do. The anointing can be on a person stronger or in greater degree of manifestation at certain times than at other times. When the anointing is stronger, more can occur because the power that is available and flowing is stronger. So in a moment in time, a person can be ministering and there is a strong anointing to do what they do. And then it can diminish. Now, this is not here, but I'm going to go ahead and give you application. We could be singing a song, and all of a sudden, you feel the presence of God. How many of you have been in services, and it's like, Pastor Manuelo and the team, where are you, Pastor Manuelo? You're here somewhere hiding. I don't know. But, you know, all of a sudden, they just, out of nowhere, you are like, God, you just feel in awe. There's just like, you're here. I can feel your presence and it's doing something to me. Or the weight of his glory. You just feel things. You just sense things tangible or spiritually, internally. And then Pastor Manuel, I'm just using you as an example because, you know, he has to love me. He works with me. And then all of a sudden, the praise. Now, again, they prepare. They sing another song. And it's like, what happened to that? A song can. It doesn't mean the words are wrong. It doesn't mean they missed it. But there are certain environments. You know, a song can increase the anointing. A song can decrease the anointing. It really can. I'm telling you. Don't be upset. Now, Pastor Manuel, we love you. I'm using that. But I have to give application. It has nothing to do with him. But I'm letting you know. Or a person could be ministering and all of a sudden somebody does something or says something and all of a sudden it lifts. Like, what happened? You may not even know why it happened, but it does. We want to be sensitive. We want to be so sensitive that the Holy Spirit whispers, you're like, you know, a little touch, like, can you come and follow me here? He doesn't have to drag you, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. That's requires spending time and getting to know. That doesn't happen immediately, but the invitation is there. The anointing on a person to minister in a particular way can come suddenly, and it can also leave suddenly. So the anointing, for example, how many of you know that are oral robbers? I believe it was his right hand. I don't recall. Most people don't know this, but he had a special anointing on his right hand for healing. And he would feel his hand. He would feel the power literally in one of his hands. He wouldn't feel it in both hands. He wouldn't feel it in his teeth or his foot or anything. He would feel it in one of his hands. And he said, when I felt the power, I needed to pray for people. So he would literally go, and people would get healed. And then, I mean, he wants, and there's a whole bunch of, and then all of a sudden it would disappear. He said, when the anointing lifted, I couldn't heal a single person. That's how it works. It can happen. Now, these are real things, I'm telling you, all right? Real experiences from people who move in the anointing. So you can have a very specific anointing, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But it can come suddenly and it can leave suddenly. As a teacher, there are times, and I can tell you, let me tell you the things that stir up the anointing. Hunger. Yes. If you come to these workshops, whether it's me speaking or anybody else, or Pastor John is teaching or Pastor Manuel is leading worship, my feet are tired. Lord, they sing a lot. Yeah, oh God. I got to get to that baseball game. Football season. Giants are playing, you know. Oh, I got to. Oh God. I hope they will. Hurry along. Okay, hurry. I got to pick up lunch at Wegmans and no honor, no attention. It is the hungry. God, give me more. I came in here and I'm not leaving until you give me everything I have plus more. When you come to church that way, let me just tell you, it causes everything to be loosened. It causes the thing, the gift in Pastor John only operates best when we're hungry for it. Thirsty, gotta have it. Give me more. I'm not content. Mm-mm, I came to eat. How many of you love to eat? Well, hunger creates more hunger and also satisfaction. And really, you're never satisfied. There's always more. Leftovers. I mean, God, you got to almost be like, and we don't like to use the word desperate, but it is a good word. You are so captivated that and enthralled. You're like, I mean, got to have more. I am not content. Those are good words to share. God loves to hear that. Because the Bible says it's those who seek him with all their heart that find him. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. Seek and you will find. God wants to be sought after. He doesn't want to just say, well, you know, I Googled it and, you know, 1, 2, 3, God, you know, I opened my Bible and God didn't speak to me. Spend some time with him and say, Lord, okay, we're not done here. We're not done because I don't have my answer yet. That's the kind of stuff that turns things on, turns the fire on and all these other things. Okay. There are special anointings that can be given to a person, especially like, for example, to minister. Acts 19:11 says that Paul worked unusual miracles, not your typical. There were miracles. There's typical and unusual miracles. Unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. He had a special anointing. Kenneth Hagin Sr., said that the Lord appeared to him one day and said, okay, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you not, you're already anointed, but I'm going to give you a special anointing for this type of thing. So there are individuals that God gives them a special anointing. Are they God's favorite? No. They just have greater responsibility now. How's that? When God gives you assignment and you say, yes, sir, and then he adds to the assignment and he gives you, because the anointing is not just for you, it's for other people. So to whom much is given, to whom much is given,
much will be required.
There you have it. So when you ask for more, there's a danger as well. But the one thing is, I believe that God wants to first saturate our lives, because let me just tell you, it's always better for the overflow to come from your private time with God, and then it overflows publicly. There are people that are very gifted and anointed publicly, but their private lives are broken and empty. Because it's a gift. Gifts can't be earned, but maturity is expensive. Gifts are free, but maturity is expensive. And your character and love and getting up in the morning and spending time with the Lord, that nobody's watching that. That's invisible stuff. That's something you choose to do. So just remember, if you want to develop and receive, do it. Get to know how to do that privately. And then let it overflow publicly. This way you're consistent. You're consistent. You're living it and doing it. All right? Okay. Oil is sometimes used to produce visible shine, sheen, or slippery feeling, right? So if I put a little oil on my face, I already have oily face, but some of us have glands that work a little more than others. They say it's really good as you get older. So, but you know, we put lotion, when it's dry, what do we do? When it's dry, we put lotion, we put oil, and it often gives us a little sheen, a little shine, right? We our tables, we get our, sprays or whatever, and we give it a little shine. Well, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit can appear visibly. You can see sometimes. You can see the glory. You can see a cloud. You can see light. You can have both physical or spiritual sight into what's going on. You could be in the service, and you may not see it physically, but you can see it spiritually. As a matter of fact, in the same way that you have five senses, you have the same kinds of senses in the spirit. You can smell in the spirit. You can taste in the spirit. You can see. You can hear. You can feel. In the spirit. You can, I've had experiences, and again, this is not, I wouldn't say it's not a gift. It's not a gift I don't really want, to be honest with you, but it has manifest where I'm telling you, I could smell death. I could smell that a person had been in sexual pornography, had been unfaithful, basically sexual uncleanness. I could smell it. I knew it. And of course, you know, when the Lord began to first use me that way, I'm like, well, that, what do you want me to do with that? And I'm going to go ahead and give an example because I got to be raw and radical. So I was in a particular event out of state with some family members. We were having a party. And I don't know, that particular day, I never had this happen before. It came, and I can't say, I've had this experience a couple of times. But literally, I'm telling you, it was in the room. I knew things. I could discern. I could distinguish. It's kind of like the same way you can discern the taste of a banana and an apple. They're both called fruit, right? But you can discern it because you can taste it. I'm telling you, I knew this person. I could see their motive. I just sensed it. I could feel it. I could feel it. This one guy who was a close friend of the family, every time this guy was close by, I mean, we weren't even talking. I knew there was sexual. I could smell it on him. It was disgusting. It was a spiritual smell. It was like the man was nicely dressed and sharp. I could smell spiritual and sexual uncleanness in him. I was concerned because this was a very close friend and family I was visiting because I live in New York and this was in North Carolina. And I was very concerned because I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? Like, what kind of a stuff? So, you know, my brother who was throwing the party had three daughters. And I felt, you know, my brother is a godly man, and this was one of his best friends. And so after the party was over the next day, I said, listen, you know, I didn't tell him about the experience. I said, hey, listen, tell me about so-and-so. You know, I felt like, and I was very careful, honored. I just say, how do you feel about him with your daughters, with my nieces? He said, you know, Pascal, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, the last, like, couple of months, I just felt like the way he hugs them or holds them, or I've always felt a little uncomfortable about it, even though he's a close friend. And so I had an opportunity to say, you know what, this is what I sense. Use wisdom. It didn't mean that my brother kicked the man out of his house or anything like that, but there was a warning. Create boundaries. Don't let your daughters alone. Now, here's the thing. Oh, my God, I'm going to stay away from her because I... That, listen. That anointing came and it left. All right? And at the same time, I believe in freedom. I work at the church. I work with, listen, if you're a man or a woman and you have sexual... Come and see me so we can set you free. I'm going to love you because God loves you. Listen, we are not afraid of weakness. We're not afraid of sin. We're not afraid of uncleanness. We're not afraid of the devil. We're not afraid of demons. We're not afraid of any of that. Listen, Jesus already sees and loves you. Yes, that's right. So who are you trying to kid? You kidding yourself? I don't know. I got it deviated there. I'm trying to let you know that, listen, you know, I tell people this, and I know I'm kind of deviating. How much time? Oh, gosh, I have a little bit. And I just feel it's important maybe to say that, you know. And this is not just me, but at Abundant Life, you know, one of the things I tell people when they come into my office, I say, listen, there's nothing new under the sun. Right. There is nothing that you can tell me that will shock me, surprise me, or will make me feel less towards you. Yes. We're all messed up. Jesus had to die for all of us. Some of us are more messed up than others because we started out more scarred up than others. So what do we do? We're in the healing business. We're in the redeeming business. Who am I to condemn? So I'm just saying, okay, we have a little bit of time. So the anointing can be very specific, available for only one purpose. In other words, it can manifest in a meeting or in a room or in your life, and it only has one purpose. In other words, it's there to do just one thing. So in the same way that certain oils are used, for example, for medicinal benefit, the healing anointing is specific and causes sickness and disease to leave. Now, an example of that is in Luke 5:17, where it says, now it happened on a certain day, you didn't say every day, but on that particular day, as Jesus was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal the people in the room. That means the anointing, all of a sudden, was there for that purpose. Not necessarily to talk about relationships and mend this or preach or whatever. It was specific. And so Jesus became sensitive and knew what the Holy Spirit wanted to do and yielded to it. And I think not everybody got healed. So even though it's available, does not mean it's forced on you. Okay? All right. Lots of scripture. We spent a lot of time, and we can probably even, that was just the icing on the cake. Rain, let's go to rain. Most people, now this is good. I love this first one. Rain. Most people run for cover when it starts to rain. How many of you do that? I do, because I don't want to get my hair wet. Some of us, you know, it's my natural hair. I got to flat iron it. And whenever it's humid, ask my assistant, I come and I'm saying, okay, hide, close the door. Because it just goes, right? Out of control. So most people run for cover when it starts to rain. A few choose to get wet on purpose. And these are the people that sing and dance in the rain. They take their shoes off and jump in puddles. How many puddle jumping people do we have in here? All right, we got about 7. All right, well, this is talking about you. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to saturate us with his goodness, like the rain, but we can choose to receive what he offers us, or we can take cover and hide, just like the rain. You can say, oops, I'm not getting into that. Give me an umbrella. The work of the Holy Spirit is often compared to taking what was once a desert, severe dryness and drought, and turning it into a fertile land. That's what rain does. When there's rain, there's dry, there's death, dryness. Nothing happens, nothing grows. But when the rain comes, the earth comes alive. So in your life, if things are dry and you're in a drought, you need to get some rain. Yes. You need to let the rain pour. And sometimes the rain's got to get there and be there long enough to saturate an extended period of dryness. One little soak doesn't do it, all right? Rain describes the Holy Spirit's cleansing, refreshing, and renewing work in us. Now, rain typically falls over a large area. You know, when it rains, you don't say, oh, it's raining on one plant in my garden. it covers, generally when the Holy Spirit is raining, he's doing a massive, many people get involved and wet, all right? The Spirit within us should be allowed to overflow. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. So the Spirit within us shouldn't be just for us, should be allowed to overflow to the world around us. Rain can vary from drizzle to downpours. The Holy Spirit presence can be perceived as gentle or strong. There are rainy seasons. There are times and there are environments where we can get soaking wet a lot. Okay? Many scriptures. Now, I got to get to wine. Now, of all the symbols, in my opinion, this is the most misunderstood regarding the Holy Spirit. The most misunderstood symbols regarding the Holy Spirit. So let's get going. While the world seeks stimulation and merriment, which is a temporary lift from alcohol, in the believer's life, it is the Holy Spirit who brings us true and lasting joyfulness and a merry heart. Long lasting, okay? There are warnings in Scripture about the excessive and unrighteous use of drinking alcohol, but Christians are instructed to drink often and get drunk. Underline that, and yes, I'm saying it, for all those who we hear this later. Amen. Now, don't take me out. Don't listen to it. This means we need to drink the new wine of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. We need to have ongoing fillings of the Holy Spirit. Getting drunk is a good thing spiritually. Yes. Now, some of you are like, okay, wait a minute here. Okay? Got the scriptures to back it up. Okay? People drink alcohol for many reasons, right? Relaxation, to celebrate a special occasion, forget problems, cope with, you know, all kinds of stuff. Well, being under the influence of alcohol causes you to lose your inhibitions. It gives people a sense of bravery, carefree, allows them to do things they wouldn't do while sober. People who are intoxicated act fearlessly and boldly. They don't spend time analyzing risks and calculating why they shouldn't move forward. Being drunk on new wine filled with the Spirit should not be resisted because there are so many physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits. The benefits are outstanding. That's why the Bible says, be filled. Do not get drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, he's comparing getting drunk with the new wine. So as on the day of Pentecost, there are usually external signs when one is drunk in the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. There are signs, just like with real alcohol. But like on the day of Pentecost, we have this that happened. Now, when believers in a church are drunk in the Holy Spirit and there's external signs that they're drunk, unbelievers and uninformed Christians may question or mock what they see and hear. Acts 2. Go and read it. On the day of Pentecost, many, it says, were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? And others were mocking, says, they are full of new wine. Why? Because they were manifesting, they were behaving, and their appearance was as if they were drunk. Okay? Now, what I want you to do, we have 4.5 minutes. I want you to turn to like 3 people, and I want you to, these are questions, and of course, I want you to consider these questions even when you go home. Okay? On the day of Pentecost, why do you think the Holy Spirit allowed the disciples to look and act as if they were drunk on alcohol? Like, what kind of a manifestation is that? Why did God allow people to walk around like, you know, what kind of a God is that? And yet, on the day of Pentecost, it happened. Yes, it does, and it can happen to you. Does God only perform miracles when we are in a serious crisis that is out of our control? Well, what do you think God is communicating to us in Scripture when we read about Jesus' first miracle at a wedding and he turned water into wine? What was the purpose of that? They weren't in a famine. They weren't dying. First miracle, a miracle. A miracle. Yes, he supplied wine. The party kept going. And the wine came at the end of the party when people tend to, like, could you go home now? All right. Why is that a miracle? And it had to do with wine. Does God have a sense of humor? Like laughter, fun, freedom, joy. Are those some things that we Christians need to have a whole lot more of? Maybe that could be why. I don't know, because we're so serious. Is it God's will for the Christian life to only consist of discipline, sacrifice, serving, and serious spiritual matters? What does the wine reveal? Okay, 2 minutes. Turn to somebody and tell them what you think about wine, the new wine. Really, quick. Two people, quick. Two, three. All right, your 2 minutes are up. Come on back. Unless you're too drunk to come back, but. All right. There's so much, the word wine is found all throughout the Bible. When Jesus was leaving, he said, he lifted up the cup. He said, this is a cup of blessing. And yes, it referred to his blood, but it was a cup of wine. Wine is all throughout the Bible. Melchizedek, the very first priest, the word priest in the book of Genesis, brought Abram, he wasn't Abraham yet, bread and wine and blessed him. All right? The bread, sometimes I think of bread, the word of God, wine, the intoxicating presence of the Holy Spirit. He wants you undone. Some of you are so serious that you're sick. I feel led to say that. Laughter do it good like medicine, and the Holy Spirit needs you to get drunk so you can start laughing and get healed. And that kind of laughter will get you healed in 1 minute. So don't be surprised if we have people laughing. Ooh, Holy Spirit, come. All right. So we're gonna end, and I'm going to have Reverend Teresa come up and close us in prayer. But we have something that we want to say in each for the next 9-10 weeks. So look at the very last part of your sheet. We're going to either say to the beginning, middle, end, but it's something I want you to say at home, in the car. Well, maybe not while you're driving because you don't want too much happening there, unless you're not the driver. So let's say it together, just the first sentence. Ready? Like fire, like wind, like oil, like rain, and like wine, Holy Spirit, come. All right? Now, you can say move, pour, it'll come down. That doesn't mean, now please, because we have to be theologically, biblically correct. When you say come, it doesn't mean he wasn't there to begin with. It means manifests your presence and your power in a particular way. Do you understand the difference? If you're a believer, he's in you. Okay? So you're not saying, well, where are you? Come. Where are you? Can you please come now? He's already here. He just wants to be invited to do more or to do specific things. Okay? So I hope this blessed you having the paperwork so you have that and you can share it and you can teach this. So guess what? Somebody says, what are you doing at Abundant Life on Wednesday night? Let me tell you. Take out your Bible and go ahead and study the scriptures for yourself. Amen. Be like the Bereans in the book of Acts. They heard Paul, and it says, we don't know if you're... It says they were very wise. They went to see if what Paul was saying was true. They checked it out in scripture. Don't believe it because I'm saying it. Go find out for yourself. All right? So Reverend Teresa, why don't you come up? We're going to close. We want to let you out in a couple of minutes.